You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by HomeWatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and their loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
News Talk 1360 WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with your host, Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. And now, Caring Connections.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on 1360 WCHL. I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Today we'll be discussing the hidden risks of over-the-counter medications and herbals for older adults. Joining us today is Dr. Robin Zook, certified geriatric pharmacist and owner of MTM Pharmacy Associates, a medication education and consulting group. Welcome, Robin.
Hello.
So, Robin, you were so kind to provide me sort of the top 10 list of things that people need to know about over-the-counters and herbals and probably don't, and things that will help them be safer in their own homes. And some of those really jumped out at me. The first is that herbals, creams, and eye drops and other over-the-counter medications can all affect your health. And I think a lot of times people just assume those are ancillary pieces and don't give them a lot of thought. So that really jumped out at me. Another was that over-the-counters can go in your pill box with your prescription meds. And again, I don't think, even when I was caring for my grandfather, I didn't put his over-the-counters in the pill box. And I think that's a very smart thing to do, to kind of put that on a routine. So that one really jumped out at me as well. And also the fact that you said, don't be stoic and treat your pain. And I think that is another thing that people often don't pay attention to and just kind of muddle through life not feeling well, and they don't treat their pain oftentimes. So I really appreciate you providing some of these top 10 things that people don't know about this topic. And we will certainly have these posted on chapelboro.com for more information. So one of the things that I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about was, what exactly is a consulting pharmacist?
Well, a consulting pharmacist is a pharmacist that has a practice talking to different types of patients. I specialize in geriatric pharmacy and talk specifically with patients that are older adults or their caregivers about the medicines that they take. I'm a consulting pharmacist as opposed to a dispensing pharmacist or a hospital pharmacist, in that dispensing pharmacists are the pharmacists you see every day at CVS's and Walgreens and, you know, those, your local pharmacies. A consulting pharmacist works with the patient, the caregiver, their primary care physician, as well as the dispensing pharmacist, to make sure that the medicines that the patient is taking are the best medications for that senior or that patient.
I found it interesting. One of the things that you've said to me before and said again in your top 10 list is that the most accessible healthcare provider is your local pharmacist. Talk to us a little bit about that.
You know, pharmacists are the drug experts. That's what we go to school to do. We learn about the medications that we dispense. We learn about how those medications interact with the diseases that they are used to treat. And, you know, you don't have to make an appointment to see the pharmacist. You can walk in and ask your pharmacist about the over-the-counter medicines that you're fixing to go purchase, or about your prescription drugs. And a lot of times today, as a dispensing pharmacist, we could work 8 hours and not speak to a single patient because the patients feel that the pharmacist is too busy or what have you. Mm-hmm. The pharmacists go to school and become pharmacists to talk to patients. So I really urge all of my patients that I see to make sure they make a connection and talk to their pharmacist, be it me or the pharmacist where they pick up their medications. You don't have to make an appointment to see the pharmacist, and you can call and ask questions that you don't feel comfortable asking in front of everyone in the retail line or what have you. But they'll answer the telephone, and you know, it's easy to talk to the pharmacist. You don't have to feel. They can answer your questions oftentimes about the medications that you have questions about.
So you mean to tell me pharmacists didn't go to school to learn how to count?
No, not to count. You know, we learned that in kindergarten, first grade, and that's what it seems like we do a lot of.
Yeah.
But that's not really what we learned in pharmacy school?
So I know a lot of times people think they've been taking the same drug their whole lives, and now they're 75 and they're still taking the same drug, and especially over the counters. What kind of over the counter medications are most harmful for older adults?
The ones that we that I tend to try and get older adults off of most frequently are the antihistamines, Benadryl, diphenhydramine, which is the active ingredient in Benadryl, and it's found in all of this, a lot of the sleep aids like Tylenol PM or Advil PM. The diphenhydramine is an anticholinergic drug, fancy word, that causes dry mouth, dry eyes, constipation, some memory impairment, and increases fall risk. And all of those risks are problems for seniors without adding this drug to their list of medications. And, you know, lots of things change as you age. And just because you've always taken a certain medicine, lots of other things that you used to do when you were 40 or when you were 30, you don't do when you're 75. Well, just because you've been on a medicine since you were 30 doesn't necessarily mean that you should continue taking it when you're 75. So we really have to look at the older adult medication list and make sure that the drugs that we're taking, although we've been on them for a long time, are still appropriate for the older adult.
I know that sleep is such a hot topic these days, and people talk about not being able to sleep, and older adults oftentimes have difficulties falling asleep. Are there any over-the-counter medications, sleep aids, stay away from?
I typically recommend non-medicinal I have non-medicinal recommendations for sleep. You know, getting up off the couch. Mm-hmm. If we sleep all day because you doze, you know, off and on, then you're not likely to need sleep at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure you get some exercise during the day. And when we talk about exercise with older adults, we're not talking about going to the gym and lifting, you know, weights. Mm-hmm. We're talking about walking.
Mm-hmm.
Get up and walk around the apartment or walk down the hall or what have you. A little bit more exercise will help you need the energy that you get when you sleep. Making sure that you're not doing that exercise right before bed. So non-medicinal type things. Oftentimes, one of the culprits that causes seniors not to be able to sleep is pain. So making sure that you're treating pain appropriately can oftentimes help with sleep.
Wow. Well, how about why are seniors more at risk for drug-related problems as a group?
As a group, seniors are more at risk for drug-related problems because they have more conditions, more disease states that we are treating with more medications. So they are on lots of medications, more so than a younger person. Their kidneys and liver are not as young as they used to be, so they don't clear the drugs as well as a 30 or 40 something or 50 something year old. All of those different drugs can have drug interactions, and all the different drugs can also have side effects that affect other conditions. So we have to look at the individual and make sure that the medicines are appropriate for that individual. Someone who has some instability issues and has problems falling, we have to watch that we're not giving them medicines that increase those risk of falls. So some medicines may be appropriate or okay for one person, but not be appropriate for another person just based on their current conditions.
So it's pretty complicated.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short break. I'm here today with Dr. Robin Zook, certified geriatric pharmacist and owner of MTM Pharmacy Associates, a medication education and consulting group, talking about the risks of over-the-counter medications for older adults. We'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by Homewatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Robin Zook, certified geriatric pharmacist and owner of MTM Pharmacy Associates. You're listening today for Caring Connections. I'm Nicole Bruno, your host. Hi, Robin. I had a question for you. Medication therapy management, that's sort of a word you hear thrown out and about these days. What exactly is that?
It's a process of reviewing medications for a patient or a senior to look for drug-related problems. be that the drug costs too much so you can't afford it, be that there's a drug interaction between one drug and another. Maybe the medications are causing side effects that then we were treating with other medications. So it's an individual patient-centered approach to medication review, looking for problems and looking for ways to treat, to solve those problems.
So you're looking at more than the prescription meds. You're looking at the whole picture.
The whole picture. We're looking at prescription, over-the-counter, herbals, everything.
So how does a person get that type of a consult done? Can their local pharmacist do it? How does that work?
Some local pharmacists at the retail do perform some MTM. It's done. I do it in the home, so it just depends. Different pharmacists have been trained to do MTM. It is a process that you have to be trained to do in order to understand all of the complications or all of the intricacies. But depending upon where you get the service performed will kind of depend on what type of service is performed.
If I'm a caregiver for an older adult, why should I have this done?
Because medications are oftentimes one of the number one reasons seniors end up in the hospital. And so medication therapy management has been proven to decrease hospitalizations and falls in seniors.
So that is a very good reason.
Yes.
Who pays for this?
In the state of North Carolina, until the grant runs out, there is a program called North Carolina Check Meds that pays pharmacists to perform this service. It is available to anyone who is a North Carolina resident, is 65 years old, and has a Medicare Part D, as in dog, drug plan.
Okay.
Otherwise, it is not currently covered by any type of insurance, and it is a cash consulting service, just like you would pay to, you know, go to a lawyer.
So you would think if it's something that saves so much money and decreases hospitalizations that it would be covered.
You would.
Maybe someday?
Maybe. The more MTM is sought after by patients and caregivers, and the more MTM and, you know, medication reviews we do as pharmacists, and the more evidence is out there that this truly does save money, eventually someone somewhere with big pockets will start paying for the service.
So there are some ongoing studies in
there
this area?
Are ongoing studies. Right now, there's some evidence out there that, you know, a dollar spent on a pharmacist consult will save $13.
Wow.
So it's pretty big savings, but it's kind of insurance, and paying for something before the accident happens is kind of hard to.
Yeah, that's yeah, I certainly understand that. So here's one thing that I know I've often wondered myself, and I'm sure this is on the minds of a lot of listeners. Are generics as good as the prescription name brand labeled drugs? I've heard things, oh, no, you don't want to take the generic because it's not the same stuff. Is that true?
I would say for 95% of the population, the generic is as good as the brand. So all drugs have a generic name when they're made
trademark.
The very first time it has a generic name. And the brand manufacturers are the ones that do a lot of the studies and do the research and put the drug on the market at first. And then after their patent runs out, then other manufacturers are allowed to also produce the same drug. The drugs that are generic have to work in the same way. They have to have the same amount of active ingredient in them. They have to disperse in the body in the same way. The things that can be different, colors can be different.
Mm-hmm. Can your pill not change kind of size from one month to the next? I take a generic drug, and some months it's one size, one color, or one different shape, and then the next month sometimes it's a different shape. But they always tell me, and they say it's the same drug. We just purchased it from a different place.
So manufacturers can make the pills whatever shape they want. But if you have a brand name drug that is a capsule, when you get the generic, it should also be a capsule because that affects how the pill is released into the body. But the color color and the shape can change. It depends on what kind of press they're using at the manufacturer when they make the pill.
Okay.
The inactive ingredients can be different. So maybe the reason one pill might be bigger or smaller is because they have more of the inactive ingredient in one pill versus the other pill, which is the stuff that holds the pill together.
Okay.
Or makes it have its color.
Okay.
There are a few drugs that we recommend not changing from brand to generic, and those are the drugs that we have to do test ongoing monitoring for. You have blood tests for things like your medications for thyroid, your Synthroid medicines, okay. or Coumadin versus warfarin. Once you're on a drug and you're using it regularly and you've had blood tests run on that particular manufacturer's type of drug, we recommend not really switching unless you're going back in to get more lab tests run in the soon up, you know, very soon.
Okay.
Just so that the change in manufacturer doesn't affect your blood test and how much of the drug is in your body.
Okay. So overall, though?
Overall, most people can take the generics without any problems.
And they're a lot cheaper.
They are a lot cheaper. It's one of the number one ways to save money with drugs being as costly as they are. Using the generic medications when appropriate is definitely a way to save money. Yeah.
I've seen a lot of prescription drug plans, you know, say that they're not going to pay for the name brand, only the generic.
The meds that have been out for a really long time, that's the way a lot of them are. They really don't save you much money when you buy the brand name. So if you buy the generic, some of the insurance companies, the generic is free and the brand name costs you almost what it would cost without insurance at all. So
wow.
They're really pushing you to use the generic if at all possible.
So it's all regulated. It's all safe.
It is all
safe.
Bottom
line.
Yes.
Okay. So can over-the-counter medications be taken at the same time as prescriptions for older adults?
Yes. There are some medicines that we recommend spacing.
Okay.
But in general, you know, I've had some seniors say, oh, I can't take all of the pills at one time. I take one and then 10 minutes later I take another one and 10 minutes later I take another one. And I call that chasing your pill box. That means all day long you're spending a lot of time chasing your pill box around the kitchen because there's always another pill that needs to be taken if you're doing it that way. Generally speaking, you can put all the pills in your hand and swallow them as you can swallow them. Now, seniors sometimes have problems swallowing large pills, and so then there's some tricks to the trade that we can use to help make those pills either smaller or get liquids if that's necessary.
Okay.
Make sure you ask your pharmacist if you're having trouble swallowing the pills. All pills cannot be crushed, and so there are some meds that you need to watch that you don't just
crush
them all up and dump them in applesauce or whatever. You can't do that for all medicines. There are some medicines that really, the way they're designed is that they are dispersed in the body over a period of time. And if you crush it, you're kind of dumping it all in at one time, and that could affect your blood pressure if it's a blood pressure medicine, and that it drops your blood pressure all at one time versus doing it over the course of a day.
Okay.
And just because it has a line on it doesn't mean it's crushable or splittable. And oftentimes I hear that, oh, it's got a line so I can cut it in half.
Yeah.
No, not necessarily.
That's a common layperson's belief.
Yes. Cut it, you know, ask the pharmacist. That's what they get paid to do, is answer those questions about your medicines.
Well, you're providing us a lot of good information. We're going to take a short break. Again, I'm here today with Dr. Robin Zook, certified geriatric pharmacist and owner of MTM Pharmacy Associates. We're talking about the risks of over-the-counter medications for older adults, and we'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on News Talk 1360 WCHL is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers. And now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Robin Zook, certified geriatric pharmacist and owner of MTM Pharmacy Associates. And we are discussing the risks of over-the-counter medications for older adults. Welcome back. Okay, Robin, why is it that seniors often end up in the hospital secondary to medication use? You've kind of mentioned that briefly earlier, and I was looking for some more information on that.
Well, there's some statistics about that that say that there are 1.5 million preventable adverse events occur each year that result in $177 billion in injury and death, and 3% of the hospitalizations that occur for seniors are related to adverse drug events. So medication is a cause for hospitalization for older adults specifically, oftentimes because they are on more medicines and therefore they have more chances to have a drug-related problem that can cause hospitalization.
I think there's a lot of, I'm feeling better taking my diabetes medicine, so I don't need it anymore. Oh, I'm not having those chest pains anymore. I don't need to take it anymore. Is that a lot of the things?
Absolutely. Patients, I was just reading a study earlier today that a lot of patients who leave the hospital for instance, congestive heart failure oftentimes find themselves back in the hospital within 1 to 5 days because they had all of the fluid removed from their body during hospitalization with IVs or what have you, and they get home and they don't have that fluid, so they're feeling better and they stop taking the medicines that were prescribed, and all of a sudden that fluid builds right back up and there they go, bounce back to the hospital. So readmissions oftentimes, and congestive heart failure is a condition that a lot of seniors have, mm-hmm. so that once again is one of those conditions that increases their risk for hospitalizations, and the lack of using the medication that was prescribed for them was the cause of the readmission. And one of the reasons they don't like the particular medicine is because it causes them to have to go to the restroom.
That's right. The side effects. That must be a huge reason.
So side effect of the medicines decrease the patient's desire to use the medicine. And so then they stop using it and find themselves back in the hospital.
Do you find that a lot of medications, their side effects seem to be more fierce in the beginning, but then as you are on it for a while, it's kind of getting people past that initial hump?
Yes. And that's one of the things you should really talk to the pharmacist when you pick up your prescription. Every time you pick a prescription up, you're required in North Carolina to be asked, do you have any questions for the pharmacist? Would you like to speak to the pharmacist?
You always check no on that box.
And everyone checks no and signs the piece of paper. You're kind of signing that means you know everything about your medicines, that you have no questions about the medicines that you're about to take. I urge you not to sign without saying, yes, let me speak to the pharmacist. And you don't have to have a list of questions. You can just say, tell me about this drug. I'm fixing to take this pill. Mm-hmm. You know, you assume that the white pill that they put in the bottle is the right white pill. If you've never seen it before, how do you know that they even gave you the one that the doctor wrote for without asking the question, what is this for?
Right. Well, you've brought some great resources with you here today as well. Could you talk to us a couple minutes just about what the resources are? And they will all be available on chapelbarrow.com after the show.
Sure. So my number one resource for anyone taking medications, over-the-counter herbals or otherwise, prescription or otherwise, is the local pharmacist. Ask the pharmacist where you pick up your medicines. You know, is this the right over-the-counter medicine for the condition you're about to self-medicate for?
Mm-hmm.
The other one, if you have questions about your insurance, Medicare or Medicare drug plans, www.medicare.gov is a great resource. I also have, you know, when we have questions about the medicines, you can go to www.drugs.com.
Okay.
Is a pretty good resource. There is a list of medications that are in the industry. We call them potentially inappropriate drugs for older adults.
Okay.
It's called the Beers List.
Okay.
In B-E-E-R-S.
Okay.
The kind you drink, but it's not really. Beers List. That has a list of medications that if your mom or older adult is on one of these medicines, you might ask the doctor, is this really appropriate for my mom? Most doctors and most pharmacists kind of, we try and make sure that we're stay away from those drugs, but oftentimes those meds are used even though they're on the list. So it doesn't, just because it's on the list doesn't mean it's not right for mom, but it is one that we should make sure that we're looking at.
Okay, Robin. Well, it's been wonderful to have you here today. We're going to wrap up now, and thank you so much for joining us at Caring Connections. And as always, you can email us any caring concerns at caring@1360wchl.com. And again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as for those people afflicted with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by HomeWatch Caregivers and can be heard Saturdays at 10 a.m. Email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of News Talk 1360 WCHL. 1360 WCHL wants to connect with you online for updates on our lifestyle programs, awesome giveaways, contests, trivia, community photos, breaking news, and more. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/chapelboro and become our fan on Facebook, and always connect with us online at chapelboro.com.